This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam baraka nabiyyana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wasallam tasliman katira thumma ma ba'd. Imam an-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, in this hadith, he takes us on a whole different direction in terms of the collection of ahadith he's mentioning in this chapter. Remember the book that we're reading from Riyadh al-Salihin, this is a chapter on al-manthurat wal-mulah, which means miscellaneous ahadith of significant value. And we've been talking about different subjects, but this is a very unique subject right now. He kind of like way off what we usually talk about. Hadith number 1855. Hadith number 1855. قال وعن أبي سليمان خالد بن الوليد رضي الله تعالى عنه وارضاه قال لقد انقطعت في يدي يوم مؤتة تسعة أسياف فما بقي في يدي إلا صفيحة يمانية. رواه البخاري. So he says over here, Abu Sulaiman, Khalid ibn al-Walid رضي الله تعالى عنه وارضاه, the companion, he says, In the battle of Mu'tah, The Arabic text says actually nine, and the translation says seven, but it's the Arabic text is correct. He says, nine swords were broken in my hand, and all that remained with me was a Yemeni sword. What does that exactly mean, Jama'ah? What do you understand from this short hadith? Khalid radiallahu anhu, he says, look, in the battle of Mu'tah, nine swords are broken in my hand. And the only one that survived in my hand was a Yemeni sword. So what do you get out of this? Huh?
The battle was so intense.
Absolutely. The battle was so intense, so fierce, that he just sword after sword after sword. Like, and we know who's speaking, Jama'ah. Who's the man that was speaking in this? Khalid radiallahu anhu. This is the man, yani, his mashallah, when he hits so hard. So you can imagine a blade after a blade after a blade means how many blades he had to break against. How many armors he had to hit with those blades, subhanAllah, you can imagine. So to give you the context of this, the Battle of Mu'tah. And what is the Battle of Mu'tah anyway? So the Battle of Mu'tah happened after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the treaty with the people of Mecca. So after the Hudaybiyah, there was a treaty, no fighting for 10 years. Khalas, alhamdulillah. So the Prophet ﷺ right now, he is securing the south in terms of, you know, the battles and so on. He started directing his attention to give da'wah to the outside world. So during that year, Rasulullah ﷺ sends all these letters and messages to the kings and the leaders of the nations around him. He sent to Yemen, to Egypt, to Sham, to Iraq, to Persia, all over the place. One of the people the Prophet ﷺ sent a letter to was Shurahbil ibn al-Harith al-Ghassani. Shurahbil ibn al-Harith al-Ghassani, he was from the Arab Christians in the northern part of the Arabian Peninsula, north-northwest of the Arabian Peninsula, which was bordering both the Arabian Peninsula from the south, obviously, and then the Roman Empire from the north. They were the vessel state, the Arab vessel state for the Romans, because they were Arab Christians. And modern day, the area where they used to rule is north of Tabuk. If anyone been to Arabian Peninsula, where Medina, there's north from Medina, there's Khaybar. North from Khaybar, there is Tabuk. And then north from Tabuk, there's the Jordanian, the border of the Jordanian government, or Jordanian actually state. There, in the south of Jordan, there's an area, part of a larger area called Al-Karak. In Al-Karak area, which is about close to 200 plus miles south from Amman, the capital of Jordan, a few miles away from Karak, there's actually a small town called Mu'tah. So what happened is that Shurahbib bin Harith al-Ghassani, the governor of the Arab Christians in that region, an area called Busra, he received a letter from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From the Prophet sallallahu alayhi, with I believe his name was Al-Harith ibn Umayr, probably, radiallahu anhu warda. And he was supposed to be delivering this letter to the governor, yani farther north, to the Roman basic leader. Shurahbi, what he did, he takes a hold of the envoy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, put him in captivity, and then he kills him. So when he did that, what happened? In all international laws throughout the history of mankind, what does that mean, Jama'ah? That's an act of war. Khalas. I mean, envoys usually are not supposed to be harmed, no matter what the letter they're carrying in their hands. Even if you hate the letter, the envoy is supposed to be protected. So they killed him. And as a result, they eventually waged war against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That vessel state, obviously, they were protected by what? By their numbers and the numbers from the Roman Empire as well too. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately, he sends an army. But imagine, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam barely, the year before, or 2 years before that, they were fighting 10,000 Arab in the Arabian Peninsula. How many Muslims are going to be there to fight these thousands of people from the north? Especially you fight it now with the Roman Empire and their allies. So the Prophet ﷺ was able to recruit as many as he could, and he recruited 3,000 people. 3,000 people to go and at least send us a message to that vessel state that you can't do this again. Whom the Prophet ﷺ assigned on that battle or that army, that small army? Three leaders, one after the other one. He said to them, he says, look, the first one should lead you is Zayd ibn Haritha, his most beloved, his former adopted son, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was, the first leader is Zayd ibn Haritha. If he's killed, then make sure to assign Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. And Ja'far, not long ago, from that moment, he just came back from Abyssinia. Barely migrated back from Abyssinia to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Ja'far was the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the brother of Ali ibn Abi Talib, the older brother of Ali ibn Abi Talib. So Ja'far, and he was the spokesperson of the Muslimin back then in Abyssinia, radiallahu ta'ala anhu warda. One of the most beloved to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, Ja'far becomes your leader. And if he's killed, then Abdullah ibn Rawaha. And he said, if he's killed, then you among yourselves choose a leader. Like he assigned the order of the leadership, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If they're all gone, you guys, among whoever remains, choose a leader amongst yourselves. Khalid bin Walid, radiallahu anhu arda, on that battle, actually, he was just Muslims for a few months. That's it. Muslim for a few months. When he became Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Khalid, go with that group. And Khalid, radiallahu anhu, was a general. I'm surprised and shocked, honestly, there is no enough researches in English, really, about the political, the military brilliance of someone like Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala warda. If you really read his story, and you read his battles and his tactics, unbelievable. I mean, nowadays you read about some of these historical figures from the past, and even from the recent time in the Second World War, First World War. But subhanAllah, the military brilliance of Khalid is just unbelievable. So Khalid radiallahu anhu was really a true military man. That's why the Prophet ﷺ says, you go. Just to give you an idea, what's the style of Khalid radiallahu anhu. Every military commander, really, they have a special style. Khalid was known to be like carrying special forces with him. And he always likes to fight light. He doesn't carry much armors. He wants to travel light because his style was swiftness. He doesn't like to carry big numbers. So he hits, and then he moves on. He hits and he moves on. He hits and he moves on immediately. And that's why when he was sent to Iraq, he swept Iraq so quickly, immediately. He took everything. It was so shocking. And then because of that, the Sahaba in Al-Sham, they got stuck in the Battle of Yarmouk. They needed a recruit. They couldn't move forward. So at the time, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu warda, he said, Khalid, move your army. Go to Al-Sham. And they needed him to be there as quick as possible. They didn't have much time to lose. So he has the normal route to travel that would take about 12 days, if not even more, to go from the south, from the desert, into Al-Sham. Or he could risk it with less opportunity for water and surviving to go to the desert in 6 days. Guess what Khalid did? He went the 6 days route. And he was there in no time. And he changed the whole the result of the battlefield. Just to show you how his style, radiallahu ta'ala anhu warda. Coming back again to Muta. So when the army went to Muta, and the Shurahbil, the king of the Ghassassin, the Arab Christians, they heard about the news. They wanted to show their might and power, obviously. So they recruited all their army. There was about 100,000 of them against 3,000. And guess what? They also got recruited from the Romans, another 100,000. So they say there's about 200,000 facing 3,000 people. This is how scary that is, Jama'ah. I want you to imagine this. Imagine the sight of 3,000 people on the battlefield facing 200,000 of well-organized, at least half of them, 100,000, well-organized army. One of the strongest armies at that time on earth, subhanAllah. This is how dangerous it was, which is why the Prophet ﷺ, he knew the danger they were going into, so he made sure to assign this leadership, this order of leadership. The battle starts, and Zayd ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu is killed. Ja'far takes his place in leadership. After that, he is killed. And then Abdullah ibn Rawaha, he takes over, and he's done. The Sahaba among themselves, who's going to be the leader, who's going to be the leader, they all look in where? Khalid, even though he's a new recruit, but he's a general. Everyone knows Khalid radiallahu anhu. He goes, Khalid, please, take care of it. So Khalid takes the honor of leading the army. However, being a realist, yani leader, he knew if we're going to continue like this, if the situation is as it is, they'll all be gone. They'll all be wiped out completely. So what did he do, radiallahu ta'ala wa rida? He realized, you know what? The best way to do that is to have a strategic withdrawal, tactical withdrawal, to save the numbers. At the same time, you know, put some pain into the bigger army, and we have at least minimized our loss. So his job was to withdraw to the desert, and he knows that these armies, they can't fight in the desert. The desert is their territory. They can't fight in the desert. This organized army cannot fight in the desert. He goes, if we can take them down south into the desert, they were good. And that was his job, to bring that army back. So when he started the battle, obviously, he didn't know how, he was kind of like concerned about how to start this. So he did something brilliant, subhanAllah. Well, he did two things, actually. In order to fool the other army, he started changing the flanks from, you know, the right. He puts them to the left, and the left to the right. The forward comes back, when the back would come forward. The purpose of that is to give the false impression that they're meeting new recruits. They came at night. Like when the other army sees the different faces, different, you know, style, different armors, they realize, oh, who are these people? They're not the same people we met yesterday. So they think that actually they're getting recruits right now. Also, what he did, radiallahu ta'ala wa rida, he says when every night, he orders a number of the soldiers, about maybe a few hundreds, and he asked him to go beyond the hills. He goes, when the battle starts, as the battle starts, you start stirring dust, and then come to us. As if he's also given the impression that they're getting, you know, recruits. And he goes, when you come, don't come all together. Come in smaller, you know, smaller battalions, like 50-50, for example. So the first 50 arrives, and then another 50 arrives, another 50 arrives. Endlessly, basically, so the other army thinks that they were getting what? They're getting more people. Oh my God, they're getting more fresh, you know, soldiers to the battlefield. And that obviously, like, creating an intimidating techniques for the other army. Eventually, that tactic and that withdrawal, subhanAllah, was so successful that they only, according to the historians and the books of Mu'arikhin, yani, Khalid radiallahu anhu only lost, and under his leadership during that actual withdrawal, he lost only 12 soldiers. That's all, subhanAllah. So as they went to the desert, he brought them back again to Medina. When the news spread, of course, obviously, the Prophet ﷺ was informed instantly about the situation on the battlefield. Eventually, when they arrived, as-Sahaba in Medina, of course, they were not happy with that. This never happened for the Muslims, that they withdraw from a battlefield. So the people were actually throwing rocks at them and shaming them. And they called them al-Furrar, al-Furrar. Like saying, cowards, cowards, like you ran away from the battlefield. But the Prophet ﷺ, he came to their rescue. And he shielded the people. He goes, no. No, bal hum al-kurrar. Al-kurrar sounds like furrar. Furrar means those who actually ran away, like saying cowards. But al-kurrar in the Arabic language, those who are checked, like they come back to a bigger group so that they will fight back again. Like a strategic, basically, return to fight back. Like they're springing back to their safety so they can come back again to the next fight, inshallah ta'ala. And then, to honor their leader at the time, who was kind of like a doubtful leadership that has for Khalid al-An, The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called Khalid radiallahu anhu, Abu Sulaiman, he called him, قال هذا سيف الله المسلول. This man, Khalid radiallahu anhu, he is the unseized sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the sword that has no cover. It's going to always be up there in the air. And subhanAllah, Khalid radiallahu anhu, since then, he became an instrumental element really in the military and in the Iraq and Sham, particularly in Sham. Many of these victories happened on his hand, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, warda, during the era of Bakr al-Siddiq and then during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. SubhanAllah, Bakr al-Siddiq and Umar, they had different views about Khalid's tactics. So Bakr al-Siddiq was happy. Bakr al-Siddiq, he has the autonomous style. Like, you the leader, I'll delegate to you. Umar, on the other hand, he had a centralized system of leadership. Any major decision in the battlefield has to come through him. So therefore, he realized he was debating with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq about the leadership of Khalid. Eventually, when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq passed away, what happened? Khalid was the commander of the northern armies all together. So Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he brought him down. He demoted him from being the commander. He gave him actually a lesser position and assigned Abu Ubaidah Amr al-Jarrah to be the commander. Abu Ubaidah has more seniority, lead a Sahabi from the beginning of Islam. Khalid is a new Sahabi. That's Umar radiallahu anhu's logic or misunderstanding. And one more thing that was on the mind of Umar about Khalid radiallahu anhu. He said that the reason why his understanding, he started hearing so much praise for Khalid radiallahu anhu warda, that people start thinking that they're not gonna win unless Khalid is actually leading the battle. He started feeling that people are attributing the winning and the victory to him, not to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result, he goes, no, that's not gonna happen. So he demoted him radiallahu anhu warda, but still he says, I am the soldier of Umar. Wherever you wanna put me, put me. Put me in the front, in the back, in the right, the left, I don't care. I just wanna do my job. So, and subhanAllah, at some point when he aged and he became in his 70s, radiallahu anhu warda, he died in Homs, modern-day Homs in Syria. When he was on his deathbed, he said his very, very famous statement. He was dying on his bed. He goes, قال, he said, I've been on a battlefield. I can't even count how many battles I've attended. And he says, there is no space, there is no spot on my skin that doesn't have a sign of a scratch or a wound or a hit from a spear or a sword or an arrow. He goes, look at me. Like he's saying, I've been chasing death all my life. And then he said, قَالْ وَهَا أَنَدَا أَمُوتُ عَلَى فِرَاشِي كَمَا يَمُوتُ الْبَعِيرِ. I'm dying on my bed just like the camel dies. And then he said his very famous statement, قَالْ فَلَا نَامَتْ أَعْيُنُ الْجُبَنَاءِ. Let the eyes of the cowards have no rest. Like, I'm chasing death, and it didn't happen to me. When death gonna come, it's gonna come. Because those cowards, afraid to die, let them have no peace then. Trying to hide from it or protect themselves from it is never gonna bring them any peace. But subhanAllah, some ulama, they say, why did Khalid radiallahu anhu, why did Khalid didn't die shaheed? I mean, if anyone deserves a shahada, it's someone who brought, subhanAllah, all this khayr to the ummah radiallahu anhu. Why he didn't die as a shaheed? Said, because the Prophet said about him what? Sayfullah al-Maslun. The unsheathed sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one will ever break the sword of Allah azza wa jal. Except who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And that's why Allah azza chose for him to die normal death, natural death, not to be killed by anybody. That was Khalid radiallahu anhu warda. Unfortunately, in recent time, I don't know if you guys know the news, but what happened. During the battle of the war in Syria, unfortunately, some of the haters of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala mardahum, they were waiting for that moment. And they went and they destroyed his shrine and his grave, radiallahu ta'ala mardah. How much hate they have for him. But eventually, especially because he was also an instrumental element in destroying the Persian Empire. And now some of those people who belong to it, coming back again, trying to take revenge from Khalid radiallahu ta'ala anhu mardah. But no matter how much they try, this is Abu Sulaiman, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised as one of his swords and the Prophet praised. Salawatullah salamu alayhi. So that's it, just to telling you that how much Khalid radiallahu anhu had to go through and the type of effort they put radiallahu anhum in spreading the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that today we live to say La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. May Allah reward Khalid radiallahu ta'ala warda and all the Sahaba for the effort they put for the da'wah, ya Rabbil Alameen. Wallahu alam. Any question, Jama'ah? جزاكم الله خير سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته